This is Peggy Van Skoik, and today is Friday, August 4th, 2006, on this extremely hot day today. I am here in the home of Ms. Ruby Merritt. Ms. Merritt has lived in and around Chapel Hill all her life, and she's going to tell me about her life, including some time that she spent in Cary when she was younger. So, Ms. Ruby, if you'll start out by telling me something about your family, maybe your parents and even your grandparents and where they came from.
My parents came from Central Virginia, and they came out here in 1904 because my grandfather was in sawmill business, and where they lived in Virginia, there were only these knotted pines, and he wanted some of the good pines that like they had in North Carolina. So he came out and came from Durham, where he came from Gretna, Virginia, to Durham. And when he got to Durham, then he had to take the Chatham Wiggler. Now that was a train, and the reason they called it the Chatham Wiggler was because the railroad track was so crooked that came from Durham and went to Bonsall in Chatham County. And it was just for the convenience of the people who, you remember, didn't have cars in those days. It was for the convenience of the people. So he went down in Chatham County. He found lots of farmers wanted to sell their timber. So he went back to Virginia and collected all of his laborers who would come with him, because it took a lot of laborers in those days. You had a steam mill, and you had mules to pull the logs out of the woods, and they cut the trees down with a cross-cut saw with two men cutting the trees down. And I remember seeing that as a child, because I'm 98 years old. And moved down. It took them almost a week. My father has told me about it so many times. Of course, I wasn't born then, but he has told me about it so many times, I feel like I can almost see it, because he said there was one buggy, and I don't know how many wagons, and then log carts, because it had to pull the logs out of the woods with a log cart after the mules would pull them to the log cart, and they'd pull them out. So, and they brought the meal. Of course, it was taken to pieces and on the wagons and the log carts, and it took them almost a week to come from Central Virginia to Chatham County. And their last camping place, they had to camp at night. And the last camping place was in Mount Carmel Churchyard, just before you get to the Chatham County line. And that is my church today. I've been in that church 80 years, and I wasn't born there. Now, isn't that significant?
Yes, indeed.
And I wasn't born then when they came. But that he told me so many times. He said that was the best well of water he'd ever drank water from, because they were so tired. They'd been on the road so long, and they were looking to see where they could camp overnight. And when they got there, there were lots of trees, oak trees, in that yard, so that they could tie the mules to the oak trees. And of course, that well was wonderful to give mules and men a good drink of water. And that's where they spent the last night, and then it went on down into Chatham County. Well, I was born in 1908, and where I was born was in what was considered a sawmill shanty. It was three rooms, my mother says. It was three rooms that my father and his laborers built in order to cut Mr. Stone's timber. Where he was a Mr. Stone, and he had a lot of timber to be cut. So that was where I was born. And now, Grandpa brought down another son besides my father. Another son came with him. And but he was single. He wasn't married. My father, of course, was married. And there were several of the laborers who were married, but they left all the wives in Virginia until they could find up either build a shanty or else get a place to stay. And then finally the wives came down on the Chatham Wiggler. And they would get off of the Chatham Wiggler at what was then Farrington, there were three stores there, and a blacksmith shop, and a planer. Now that was the plain lumber. A planer was there. And Natch covered in water with Jordan Lake. Uh-huh. And the Chatham Wiggler, I suppose the railroad tracks were taken up, or else they're underwater. I don't know which that they are. But anyway, I rode that train as a child many times to Durham, because that's the way my mother would take me. And then a little later, my brother, who was 3.5 years younger than me, and she would take us to Durham, and we'd have to spend the night. When she needed to go shopping, that's the way she'd have to go shopping. She'd take us to Durham, and we'd spend the night at a boarding house there, and then come back on the train. So I can remember that. That was a long trip, you know.
Big
it was
outing.
Very exciting.
I can there. Imagine.
Well, when I was about 10 years old, I think, my grandfather and grandmother hunted. Of course, they could see my grandfather came, because grandmother came on the Chatham Wiggler with the other wives when she came down. And they lived just in walking distance of us, just a short distance out there in the country. And because my grandfather and my father had built homes then. They bought some land and built some homes, but they were still in the sawmill business. So I just enjoyed going to Grandma's. Of course, it was out in the country, you know, and we weren't afraid of anything. And I would run up to Grandma's maybe twice a day or three times. And she had, she never had candy. She never did have candy. But what she would always give me was lumps of brown sugar. She kept them in a jar, kept those lumps of brown sugar in a jar, and that's what I would get for being good, I guess. And my little brother, of course, was younger. Well, one day I went to Grandma's, and even though I was probably 9 years old, I haven't forgotten it. And she gave me my brown sugar, and I ate mine, and she said, "Now take Onyx, my brother, take him this," and she put it in an envelope and gave it to him. "Now take this to Onyx." I went back, and between her house and our house, well, it was dirt, of course, and I looked down, and there was some lumps of dirt that looked exactly like brown sugar, and I wanted that brown sugar. I guess the devil tempted me. I don't know what else. So I ate the brown sugar and put some lumps of dirt in. And when I got home, of course, he was so thrilled, you know, taking it. He put a lump in his mouth, and of course he went to screaming and coughing and spitting, and Mama found out what it was, and I got to switch. I mean, she switched me good, so that's why I haven't forgotten it. But I'll never forget that. Well, as time went on, my mother was a teacher before she married, and it was over a mile to a school, and they only taught 7 grades, and there was over a mile, and I would have to walk with some of the local boys. There was no girls at all. I would have been the only girl, and it was 4 or 5 boys that I would have to walk to school with. So my mother said she wasn't going to let me do that. And, of course, you didn't have a car then. And you had to go by buggy everywhere, and that would have been too much. So she taught me until I was in the fourth grade. So that was homeschooling right there. And when I was in the fourth grade then, she boarded and roomed and sewed a girl that she knew who was in the seventh grade to in order for her to walk with me to school every morning. Uh-huh. So that's what happened. Well, in 1916 then, well, I had, it was 1916, so I would have been 8 years old, wouldn't I? Yes, I guess. My father bought a car. And, well, that was just a wonderful thing. And I have the picture made of my father and mother. It was a Ford that you could let the top back, you know. And so you had a sports car in those days. His was a third car in Chatham, all of Chatham County.
Really?
The doctor had one. And the one doctor in Chatham County had one, and there was a merchant in Wilsonville. It was his name for that merchant. Do you know? Uh-huh. Happen to know where that is? It's on 64.
Uh-huh.
As you go from Pittsburgh to Apex or to Cary, you know, mm-hmm. 64, and it's at the back end of south end of. Chatham County,
oh,
I'd call
kidding.
It.
Yeah.
And Mr. Wilson lived there at that time. He lived and had what you considered then a very fine country home.
Sure.
And he had a car, and so then my father bought a car. So that was one of three cars in Chatham County at
now,
that time.
Was your father's car a Model T, or do you know?
Well, I guess it was. It had two seats to it, though, instead of just one. It wasn't a roadster.
Okay.
It had two seats. And
did it have a windshield, or was there a windscreen
yes,
or glass?
Yes, it had
or
a
what?
Windshield, and had those little lights on either side of the windshield, you know, have those little globes. I'll show you the picture.
Okay.
If you want to see it.
Okay.
If you will get that, it's the first one, I think, laying in that picture. Saturday, we'd go to, after we got a car.
Yeah,
we'd go to Seaforth to shop, and they had everything from poor hand candy to horse collars. They had everything in that store, and that's the owner of the store standing on the porch with a hat on.
Yeah,
well, the train that's the Chatham Wiggler. It just happened to be there at that particular time, and the roving photographer got out in the cornfield and made that picture, and I wouldn't take anything for it.
No, it's a wonderful picture of a very large log-type building, which was your shopping center.
That was our shopping center.
And there's a train in the background, so that would be the Wiggler, right?
Yeah.
And there are several horse-drawn buggies and carriages, and then your father's car right in the middle with
That's
you
right.
and your
My
brother in the back.
Father on the front seat.
The father and mother in the front seat, and you and your brother in the back seat. And it's got a windshield, and the top is down. It's folded down. Oh, this is just a wonderful picture.
And that was made in 1916.
1916. Oh, that's just great. That is a wonderful
picture.
So now this was just a traveling photographer that happened by?
Yes, because in those days, if we went to Durham, I have some pictures that were made at a photography shop in studio in Durham. But we had to go to Durham to get a picture made. We didn't know what a Kodak was. But these, they called them roving photographers. They'd go through the community periodically and stop at houses and ask them, couldn't they make pictures, you see? And so he just happened to come by when we were there.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And I just wouldn't. It's a treasure.
Yes,
I just
indeed.
Wouldn't take anything for it.
So now, was the store owned by Mr. Wilson of Wilsonville?
No.
No, that was
no,
somebody
no,
else owned
no,
this store.
That's a different one.
Okay, and, at Seaforth. It was the little...
Yes, that's a different one.
The store was, or the little town was called Seaforth?
No, only the store.
Only the store, Seaforth.
Only the store. That was just, there were two houses, I think, that were nearby, and the school wasn't too far away, and that was it.
That was it.
That
and
was
this
it.
Was near Jordan Lake?
It's covered in with Jordan Lake now.
Oh, okay.
All that area, Seaforth. And they still, that Seaforth Landing now at Jordan Lake, where they put boats in. Seaforth Landing now.
Oh, that's great. So that name carried on.
So the name goes on anyway.
Yes.
But all the store, everything is gone.
Yeah.
All the houses, everything's gone that was there.
So was that the closest store of that kind
that
and size for you?
That was the closest for us.
Okay, and how long did it take you to get to the store from your house?
We could have walked it if we wanted
to. Oh, was that close?
I'd say half a mile and a half, something like that.
Oh, okay.
To us, but it was, you know, every Saturday, if we were good children, you know, we got to go to the... That's why I call it my shopping center now. You see, you didn't know the word shopping center then.
No.
But now, you know, I call it my shopping center. Because I look back on those days with pleasure now. Even though I was a child, I haven't forgotten it.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, so now, what memories do you have of riding in the car? Were there were no real roads.
And if it rained when you were riding, you had to get wet. I mean, if it blew in, either get, of course, put the top back up. But you had these curtains, these side curtains, that had to be snapped all the way around. And so if on Sunday mornings, because we always went to church on Sunday, and if on Sunday mornings it was raining while my father had it in the garage, why, he had to snap up all the curtains, you see, so that we could go. We didn't go other times when it was raining. But, you know, of course, it was grand to have the top back down, you know, especially for Brother and I.
Yeah, I bet you love that.
Well, when I was then I only went to Grove School. That was the name of that school was Groves, G-R-O-V-E-S. And there were two rooms, big room and a little room. The little room went through the fourth grade. The big room went from fifth on through the seventh. And what I remember about going there so much is at Christmas, always one of the farmers would bring in a big Christmas tree, cedar tree, bring it in, and every child got a gift.
Really?
Oh, it was, naturally it was very small, but oh my, you look forward to that. So that your name was called out, you see, and it was put on that tree.
Oh!
And now, I'm sure the teachers didn't. There was one teacher in each room. One teacher taught through the seventh, one teacher taught through the fourth. And I mean, I guess I must have learned something, because I never did fail when I went through high school. I only went to college 1 year, but I never did fail. So, at Christmas, you know, that's the most outstanding memory I have of going to school there.
Do you remember what the gifts were? Do you remember what you got?
Or maybe a little bag of candy. Or, I don't know, maybe a handkerchief. I can remember getting handkerchiefs. You know, that was the thing. Mm-hmm. And or some little something like that. And so they, well... Before I was in the fifth grade, my father built a larger house. He moved about 5 miles away because he was sort of getting out of the milling. My grandfather had died, and my grandmother, and so he was sort of getting out of that. He invested in a planer in Durham, and he and another brother did in Durham. So he, you see, he had a car then, and so he sort of got out of that, and we moved to that other house. Well, in that vicinity, of course, I can show you where it is. The house is still there.
Is it?
Yes. Of course, it doesn't belong to me, but it's still there. And he decided that he felt, I'll tell you, we were on the west side of New Hope Creek, and he had malaria a lot, and he felt like it was... Maybe he lived so near, but you had to have water when you ran a mill, you know, mill. So he had to put his mill down. That's really why he and Grandpa bought those places, and because they had to put a mill down close to the creek. And he had malaria so much, he decided, well, let's get on the other side of New Hope Creek, you know. And so he bought over there and built. But there wasn't a school over there at all. And then if you had a school, unless it was in a city, if you had a school out in the country, or at least it was that way in Chatham County, if you had a school, the community had to build it and find their own teacher. So my father had right much land he bought over there, and he told the community, the men met together, and he told them that he would furnish the land and furnish the lumber.
Wow.
If they would build the schoolhouse. So I have a picture of that. It's in that little book of mine. I wrote that little book.
Oh, this is a great little booklet called Bits and Pieces. It has that wonderful picture on the front.
And it's in there somewhere.
Okay.
Anyway, it had a porch at the front on there. The one-room school with a porch on the front. And once a year in the spring.
Is that the picture?
Yes,
okay.
And I think that was my last year, I believe it was, there. Okay. I finished the seventh grade there. And it was either the sixth, I don't know the year exactly, but I believe it was the seventh when I was in the seventh grade when that was made. But you see, there weren't too many, you can see.
No, there are about 12.
And
I see 12 children in front of the school.
And yet she taught 7 grades.
Oh, my. That's amazing.
But that's when you had discipline. And parents cooperated.
Yes.
And that meant a whole lot. And you see, there's a frame all over that porch.
Yes, yeah.
Well, that's because it was at the end of the year. And always at the end of the year, there was, well, now we would call it a production, but we called it a play then.
Oh.
We'd have a play. The teacher would select it, and there wouldn't be enough children to put on the play, because, you see, there were some big boys in there and some fairly large girls. But those children weren't enough. And so the community, the people in the community would take a part in the play.
Really?
The people. And we had no stage, so they'd always build that frame out on the porch and use sheets for curtains, and, you know, so that you could draw. Well, you could dress back in the schoolroom, you see, and come out from there. And then all the community, it was a community affair. And it was so wonderful. Unless you brought your chair, you'd sit on the ground to see it. That's why that picture has the framing on it.
Oh, that's
and
great.
You see, as I look back over it, I think it's such a pity we don't have such, well, what would you call it? Such love for each other and wanting to help each other, and we learned, I don't care if there were 7 grades in there, she was she boarded at our house, so I had to.
Oh, boy.
And my mother was a teacher, you know. Yeah. So brother and I had to learn.
Yes, indeed.
And, well, when I finished, Rock Spring was the name of the school. When I finished the seventh grade there, then I had to go away to school. And Bonnelly is in the western section. Chatham County is a big county. And Bonnelly was in the western section. I glimpsed my daughter coming around there. She's coming.
Okay.
And she has a key. I keep the doors locked.
Oh, okay.
She has a key. So,
so Bond Lake, is she?
We went to Bond. They sent me to Bond Lake to school. I had to, my father and mother took me up there. All dirt roads all the way. It's not about 25, 30 miles from here.
Wow.
And, but it was just like, well, worse than me going to New York now. I'd never been away from home other than my grandmother in Virginia. My mother's mother stayed on. Clarence, instrumental in me doing that little book.
How were you?
But she was, all three of my daughters are teachers, and she taught second grade, and every fall she'd have me to come to tell the children, you know, about when I was young and how it was when I went to school.
Oh, that's great.
And all of that. And she'd keep saying, Mother, you tell a different story every time you come. Says, please write a book, because we can't remember them all. Please write a book and tell us something. So I think, oh, it's too much trouble. And one winter, it was bad weather. And I thought, well, I'll sit down and start that. So I wrote a whole lot of it, and then I put it away, forgot about it till the next February. And the next February, it was cold and all. I sat down and finished it. I called her and I said, because her husband is a whiz with a computer and all of that, I called her. I said, well, I've done it now. If you can read it, you just come over here and get it. She didn't even know I was doing it. I said, now you read it and you can throw it in the fire or you can do as you please. About an hour and a half later, she called me. She said, Mother, I've read that, and I laughed and I cried.
Aww.
And said, please let us put it in book form, and because Billy can do it, you know, he's a computer, and let us do it and give it to everybody at Christmas. So I hadn't thought about doing that, but they were the ones that was instrumental, so they came over here and looked through my album and got the pictures, and he did it, so her husband did it.
Oh, it's wonderful. Must be a real family treasure to you.
And at Christmas, they were, after we'd had our dinner, and they were seated, part of them on the floor and all around in here, everywhere, that I presented to them. One for each family.
Aww.
And gave it to them. Well, it was one for each person, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Not just each family.
Yeah, each grandchild got one.
Each grandchild, all of them. Well, sir, you know, it was such a noise here with them all. I mean, everything got just as quiet as a mouse. Everybody was reading. It was just as quiet as could be. And I was to have surgery right after colon surgery. And, of course, we didn't know what it was and whether I'd live or not, anything else. And I think maybe it was opportune time for us to have it.
Yes, indeed. Oh.
Then, but thank the Lord, I pulled through it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, how wonderful. That's great.
Well, let's see. Where
okay.
did I get to before
so
she came?
So you were telling me about, you showed me the picture of the Rock Spring School. Now, you went to, what, grades 5 through 7 at that Rock
I
Spring School?
I went through 7th grade, and then they sent me to Bond Leader School, and I thought I was going to die. I was so homesick. Oh, I was 13 years old, and I just thought I was going to die. I was so homesick. And after I'd been up there a month, my father and mother came to see me one Saturday, and little brother, and brought picnic lunch. And I cried all day long, all the time they were there. I couldn't enjoy them because I cried, begging them to take me back home. And my father would have done it. He would have taken me. My mother said, no, indeed. You know, she was a school teacher. She said, no, indeed. You'll get used to it. Now you're going to stay here. So I stayed, but and in another month I was fine, and really I was just as happy as could be. She was right. She was right. So
now where did you stay? Were you in a...
In a boarding, it was a dormitory.
Okay.
They had a girls' dormitory and a boys' dormitory.
Oh, okay.
It was a boarding school.
School, okay.
That's what it was. And, well, that year, the flu was still raging that year. Of course, it was worse the year before, but it was still bad. And practically everybody in that dormitory had the flu. And they had to get a doctor from Liberty, North Carolina. He had come down on the train to see us. And... because they didn't have a doctor there at Monley. It was just a little village, and they didn't have a doctor there. So I was real sick, and practically everybody in the dormitory was sick. And they, bless their hearts, the teachers took care of us who didn't get sick, the ones that stayed up. In the meantime, my father was at home, just real sick, just very sick with the flu and pneumonia and I don't know what all. That was my mother. She stayed up, fortunately. And there was telephone communication at that time. The telephone that you screw with like that will handle. But my mother could call the dormitory and speak to somebody. But yet she knew I was there sick. My father was too sick for her to leave him. And she said she thought she was going to lose her mind. So they said, my father said, you're not going back next year. That's too far from home. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, but when you had to go on dirt roads and couldn't even get over them in winter time, it did seem a long ways. It was certainly then. So that's when I went to Cary.
Okay.
That was 22. The year
1922.
And that fall, it was nearer, and I had an uncle and aunt that lived at Apex. And, of course, they were macadamized roads. You know, they didn't have cement roads like they do now. Between Apex and Cary, so that it was a good road. And if I didn't get to go home on the weekend, even though from Apex to our home was a dirt road, but if I didn't get to go home and wanted to, some weekends I'd stay at the dorm. And I wasn't homesick down there. And... Aunt Hattie would come and get me, and I'd spend the weekend with them if I wanted to go, you know. So it was much more pleasant to go to Cary.
So now were you born in?
We had a boys' dorm there and a girls' dorm.
So you stayed in the girls' dormitory?
I stayed in the girls' dorm at Cary.
Oh, that's great.
And the directory of the book there, well, you can see the teachers that we had. Of course, I took music. Everywhere I went, I took music. I didn't tell you this. When I was 12 years old, I was good size for my age. And my father would have to stop the mill to take me to music, because he loved music, and he wanted me to take music, and I loved music, too. So... we'd have to go down by Wilsonville, and down just beyond Wilsonville, you know, where it is now, today, where Wilsonville is, and for music, which was about 5 miles from home. And he would be willing to stop the mill to take me. I took an hour music lesson, and he was willing to do it because he wanted me to have music so bad. But he told my mother, now, Ruby can learn to drive that car, and I won't have to go. My mother liked to have a fit because she wouldn't attempt to drive. And she thought I was too young. Well, Papa was such an easygoing person that he taught me how to drive. I went around that house oodles of times learning how to drive. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I finally got to the point, you know, you didn't have to have a license to drive then, because there were only 3 cars in the county still. And he said, He told me, now, if you meet a car, it will be either Norma Wilson or Dr. Upchurch, if you meet a car. And they knew, you know, me. Said, you drive off. See, it was dirt roads. You drive off. Don't get in the ditch, but drive off as far as you can and stop and let them pass you. And that was orders when I drove alone, you know, the first time. Of course, he'd been with me several times, but I could not learn to reverse. I could go all right forward. You see, you had gears in, you know, down here like this. I could go forward, but I just couldn't reverse. For somebody, he said, well, let Rastus, that was my music teacher's husband. And they had a lot of trees in the yard, so he said, let Rastus turn you around now so you won't hit a tree. Turn you around and head you toward the road. So that's what Rastus would do every time I'd go. My mother would ride with me, but I know she was scared to death. But anyway, I started driving when I was 12 years old in May, and I think I started about July, something like that, alone, when I started driving.
12
alone.
Years old.
Because he'd been teaching me ever since I was 11 years old. So I started driving. I told, this is the youth at Mount Carmel Church, and they came here one night for me to tell my tale to them. And when I said that I started driving at 12 years old, every one of those little boys just perked up. And,
they used to, when I was teaching second grade, too, they would all say, well, that's the age of my brother.
Right. And you were driving already? So now you were learning to play the piano? That's what your music was?
I was playing piano. I took piano. I started taking piano, I guess, when I was about 10 and a half or 11, something like that. And, of course, I took it when I went to Bon Lee. I had a good music teacher there, and then I took it when I went to Cary. And then, well, after that year, my brother was going to be going the next year to, and he would have to go away to school, you see. So my father said, well, y'all will never be at home anymore. We're going to move, because he then didn't have the sawmill. And we're going to leave. So he put a tenant in his house down on the farm where we were living. He put a tenant there and bought a place between here and Durham, and over on the Durham Road. And I went to Chapel Hill School the next 2 years, and finished at Chapel Hill. Okay. And of course, brother went to that. And so then I went to college.
Yes.
I was going to be real smart, you know, go to college. But I'd already met this brown-eyed. You see her brown eyes? All four of my children have brown eyes, and just like him. And I'd met that brown-eyed young man when I was a junior, my first year up here. I was a junior in high school, and I met him on New Year's night. And his sister brought him to my house, and because she was in my class, and he was away at school. And so he was 6 years my senior. So she brought him at Christmas time to meet me. Well, of course, he went back to school. And but when school was out, he started coming over. And from that then, at Christmas, when I was a senior in high school, at Christmas, I got that.
Engagement ring? Oh, that's beautiful.
And no, not when
college.
I was senior. It was when I was in college. Yes, I've got that wrong. I'm sorry. You can erase that.
Okay.
And anyway, at just as soon as I graduated last of May or first of June, at, in 25, that's year 25. And in order to get in, for a girl to get in college up here, you had to be registered by that summer. So I was going to be real smart, you know. And I got right out of high school, registered for summer school. And then they had quarters instead of semesters. Mm-hmm. And so I finished one quarter, you see, in the fall. And well, by the time I'd finished that one quarter in the fall, my parents wanted me to be a teacher. I wanted to be a nurse.
Uh-oh.
And but my father, especially, my mother wasn't quite as bad about it as my father, but my father thought it was a disgrace to be a nurse almost.
Why?
Oh, he just thought it would, oh, I would be just, it was terrible. It was just terrible to be a nurse. Now, that was the opinion. In those days, the only thing you could do that was really respectable was to teach school and be a mama.
That's it.
Okay, that was just about it. And, so it was that Christmas that I got to Diamond.
Oh.
And, I went on to school. I finished the year.
Okay.
You see, by having three quarters, I finished the year. And then in June the 12th, I married.
Oh, that's
I was
great.
18 years old and did not know one thing about cooking, hardly at all.
Uh-oh.
My mother was a wonderful cook and did not want anybody in her kitchen when she was cooking. Certainly not to try to cook because, oh, you make such a mess. Well, how are you going to learn unless you make a mess? You've got to learn that way. But she couldn't stand that. But now, I had to clean the house, and we had a big house, and I had to clean the house on Saturdays, and when I was going to school, I had to clean the house on Saturdays, and she did the cooking for the weekend, for Saturdays and Sundays, she did the cooking. And my oldest daughter, Virginia, Libby's mother, is exactly like her. Clarice will tell you, she doesn't want anybody in the kitchen when she's cooking. So I did not know how to cook, but I had the best husband about that. He knew I didn't know. I told him I didn't know how to cook. And you see, nowadays you can get things that you can put in the microwave. You didn't have that then. You had to make biscuits and cook from bottom out. Everything had to be prepared. Well, it was very difficult, but he would say, that's all right. You know, I thought I never would learn how to make biscuits. And one time they'd be so hard, and the next time they'd be crumbly, and the next time they'd be something else. And I'd almost cry, and he'd say, that's all right, we can eat them. That's all right, it's good. And he was so good about that. So I said, if the good Lord gives me girls, they going to learn to cook while they're with me. And Clarice can tell you that everyone learned to cook when they were with me. They knew how to cook when they married.
That's great.
And they can all three cook.
Oh, that's great.
So, he did them just like he did me, Clarice will tell you. He was very, no matter what kind of mess you'd make or anything else, he'd say, well, that's all right, next time cook it a little more, next time do it. So he was just as good about it as he could be.
Now, what was your husband's name?
E-B-E-N, Eben.
Eben.
Eben Merritt.
Okay.
And this latest great-grandson is named Eben.
Oh.
They named him Eben.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And we are very proud.
Yes, indeed.
And they did.
Gosh, now what were your parents' names?
My mother was a McCaney. I'm Scotch-Irish, got a part of it in me.
Okay.
My mother was a McCaney. Her father came from Scotland when he was a little boy.
Really?
Yes. He came. He was in the Civil War. And, her father was.
Okay.
And
now, what was her first name? Your mother's
Maybelle.
Maybelle.
M-A-Y-B-E-L-L-E. And my father was Charlie Hunt.
Charlie Hunt. Now, did his sawmill have a name? The sawmill that he owned, did it have a name?
The farm.
The sawmill?
Well, it was just Hunt.
Just Hunt.
Son.
Hunt and Son?
Yeah. My grandfather, you see, and he had it together.
Really? Okay.
It was Hunt and Son.
And how long did that sawmill last? How long?
Well, let's see. I must have been I guess, I don't know. I don't, a grandfather, of course, had it way before I was born. And, well, of course, they bought a new one, but I mean, he was in the business
right.
way before I was born. And I must have been about 11 years old, I guess, when my father finally went out of the business.
Yeah.
Of course, grandfather had died. He died when I was about 9 years old.
Okay. Now, did he sell it or he just closed it down?
He just closed it down. He didn't sell it.
Okay.
Just closed it down completely. Okay. Or at least I don't remember if it did. Maybe he sold a mill or something, you know, for somebody to take it off. But
right.
anyway, it wasn't run there near
okay.
us.
Okay.
And because I don't remember about that.
No.
Oh, my. When I was a child growing up, we loved, brother and I, of course, loved to go to the fair, the state fair, you see, was there. But in the fall, when they had the state fair in October, of course, was a time that sweet potatoes had to be dug. And my father always had a big garden. Now, he had a farm, but he didn't farm himself. He had tenants on the farm. And but